The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own god. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." And the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, and they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up. Throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, and they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.'" And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals or herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. And then if you'll turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, you might want to keep a finger in where the book of Jonah is. We'll return there in just a moment. But Matthew chapter 12. Beginning at verse 38. Matthew 12 and verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." Let's pray. Father, we do pause before your word and we humble ourselves beneath your mighty hand, and we ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, come and illuminate our minds and hearts and give us a true understanding of what you reveal about yourself and about your Son, Jesus Christ, in these words. We pray it for his glory. Amen. People have always challenged the claims of Jesus. You know, who is this man? What authority does he have? Why should any of us give Jesus a second thought? People have questioned his person, his character, his birth, his background, his mission, his relationship to God, his relationship to women. Was he married? Did he have a girlfriend? People fabricate stories. They come up with these Gnostic Gospels. They question, was there ever such a man? Is the historical Jesus and the Jesus of the Bible one and the same? Are we talking about the same person? Some man that appeared in history called Jesus. Is that the Jesus that we find in the Bible? And what we see here in Matthew's Gospel is that this attack against Jesus is nothing new. Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Prove to us what you say. Prove your claim. Do some sign to show us that you were somebody that we should pay attention to, that we should listen to. Show us some sign to prove that you are from God and that you speak on behalf of God to us. Jesus says, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus answers this challenge by sending us back to the Bible, to the Old Testament, to the book of Jonah, and he invites his critics and he invites us to make a comparison between Jonah and himself. Something that happened to Jonah is being repeated in the life and the ministry of Jesus. As Jonah was, so the Son of Man will be. And this is the only sign you will ever get. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the worldwide spread of the gospel, the transformation of the world through the gospel, is God's sign and seal upon his Son Jesus that this is his man. The man of God's own choosing, the one that God has sent into the world to reveal the fullness of God to us. As Jonah was, so the Son of Man will be. This morning, I don't want you to miss what Jonah can teach us about the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. First of all, think about their death. And here you may want to turn back to the book of Jonah. You can let go of Matthew. We won't look at any more verses there, but you'll turn back to the book of Jonah and have that in front of you. I think that will be helpful. But think about their death. In one sense, Jonah died. In one sense, Jonah died. Verse 12, chapter 1. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come on you. Verse 15. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Jonah's death is because of sin. He said, it's my fault. His death is at the hands of men. They took Jonah and threw him overboard. His death was an acceptable sacrifice. The raging sea grew calm. His death was substitutionary. It was in the place of others. Other people got saved because this one man died. Verse 16. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. One man dies, and everybody else gets to go home. They get to live. They're free because of this one man's death. Jesus died. Jesus died for sin. Romans 4:25, he was delivered over to death for our sins. Jesus died at the hands of men. Acts 2:23, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Jesus died as a sacrifice for sin. Ephesians 5:2, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus died a substitutionary death. In the place of others, we get to go home. We go free. We live. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. One man, Jonah, is guilty. And he puts all of these sailors in danger. I mean, they're all going to die because of what this one man did. All those sailors that are on the boat. It's a picture of Adam's sin. One man sins, everybody else is going to die. Jesus is one man. He's sinless. He's innocent. And we're the guilty ones. What Christ does for us, one man's obedience, one man's death on behalf of us, we get his righteousness, we get the forgiveness of sins, we get new life, we get to go home. A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jesus died for us. In the second place, think about their burial. In a very real sense, Jonah got buried. Chapter 1, verse 15, then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah's body is committed to a watery grave. He's entombed within a great fish. Inside the fish, Jonah knows, this is my tomb, this is my grave, this is it. Look how he prays in chapter 2, verse 2. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, Sheol, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. I've been from your sight. Verse 6. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. For you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. The little word pit that we find in the NIVs, same word that occurs in Psalm 16, those familiar words, you will not abandon me to the grave nor allow your Holy One to see decay. The pit, decay. King James uses the word corruption. New Living Translation calls it the jaws of death. It's the place where the dead are buried, the pit. And this is what Jonah feels as he's in the water and in the fish. I'm in the pit. I've been buried. This is it. This is my grave. And this is what Jesus specifically points to as the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus was buried. His burial is not treated as a footnote in the gospel record. Something that is essential to the gospel. All four gospels record the burial of Jesus. It merits a place in the Apostles' Creed. He was buried. Heidelberg Catechism devotes a question to it. Why was he buried? And the answer is, his burial testifies that he really died. He is really dead. The burial of Jesus is essential to the gospel. We need to know that Jesus really died. If he didn't die and pay the penalty for our sin, if he didn't really die as a penalty for our sin, then we still have to. If his wasn't a real death, if it just came close to the door of death and then came back, then death hasn't been accomplished, and it's still up to us to pay for the penalty of our sins. The burial of Jesus confirms to us that he really died. Westminster Shorter Catechism, part of his humiliation. He underwent the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, the cursed death of the cross, and then it includes his being buried. And they don't just say that. They go on to say he remained under the power of death for a time. And look how much weight the Puritans give to his burial, that he stayed there for a period of time so that you would know that he really died. Jesus' 3 days in the tomb tell us that he really died. He was 100% under the power of death. A wicked and adulterous generation asked for a miraculous sign. But none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jesus really died, and he was buried, and his body remained under the power of death for a time. Now think about resurrection. Both Jonah and Jesus died, and they were buried, and they both came back to life. Jonah experienced a resurrection. He prayed to escape death. Chapter 2, verse 2, "In my distress I called to the Lord. He answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help. He was heard. He was saved by God." Chapter 2, verse 10, "The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Jonah's tomb could not hold him. God raised him from the depths of his watery grave. God raised him from certain death. Jesus experienced a resurrection. Jesus prayed. Luke 23, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus was heard. Hebrews 5, "He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission." Jesus was saved by God, Acts 2:24. "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to hold him." Jesus' tomb could not hold him. He is alive today. He is risen. We say that because we believe it. It is true. He is alive. He experienced resurrection. A wicked and adulterous generation asked for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Death, burial, resurrection. And then finally, think of the results of the death, burial, and resurrection of both Jonah and Jesus. For both of them, it means that the gospel goes to the Gentiles and it goes out into the whole world. It comes to us. It's a resurrected Jonah who walks into the Gentile city of Nineveh. Nineveh is not a part of Israel. This is in Iraq. This is Mosul. This is another city that's outside of Palestine. And it's a resurrected Jonah who walks into that city and preaches God's word. Chapter 3, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you.'" Jonah preaches, and then verse 5, "The Ninevites believed God." It's a resurrected Jesus who stands on a mountain in Matthew 28 and says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, the Gentiles." That's the sign of Jonah. Death, burial, resurrection, and then the transformation of Gentiles, the gospel going to all the world. It's why people can sit here in South Carolina today and worship the risen Christ. It's why here in the United States so many have heard the gospel. It's why the back of our bulletin has a list of missionaries, people that we send out as part of our team. It's why we give money to them. It's why we pray for them. Because the gospel is going to all nations. It's come to us. Notice that for both Jonah and Jesus, sinners are forgiven. Chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had planned. They're spared. They're forgiven. For us, Colossians 1, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his own beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. That's the sign of Jonah. People getting their sins forgiven because they respond to the message of Jonah. We respond to the message of Christ in the gospel. The fact that you and I are here this morning, worshiping Christ, confessing our sins in faith that he will forgive us, it's the sign of Jonah. People are being transformed by the message, the gospel of Christ. And then for both, Jonah and Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection means new life. Jonah died. He was buried. But he was raised. And the man who walks out onto the beach from the big fish is a new man. He is a new creation. He has a new purpose. He has a new calling in life. The man that he was is dead. The sentence of death. His past is gone. His guilt is gone. His past sins are forgiven. They have all been hurled into the depths of the sea, and that's where he died. And so the man that walks out and walks into Nineveh is a new man, a new creation in Christ. Dead to sin, but alive to God. And we now experience the same in Christ. Romans chapter 6, Paul makes this exact parallel. What shall we say? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Paul doesn't stop there. He says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. It's the sign of Jonah. It's the transformation that takes place in us. Dead to sin, buried with Christ, our past is gone, now living and enjoying this newness of life, resurrection life. A wicked and adulterous generation ask for a miraculous sign. Do you think there's anything miraculous that has happened in your life from the person that you used to be? A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was, so the Son of Man will be. And so you and I are today, dead to sin, buried with Christ, raised up in Christ to live a new life. When you leave church today, go in the strength of the sign of Jonah. As it was with Jonah, so it will be with the Son of Man, and so it is true of me, dead to sin, buried with Christ, alive to live newness of life. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we would be able to pull from both Old and New Testament those truths that you would have us to feed upon this week. Help us to see who we are as we are in Christ. The freedom that you give us, the forgiveness, the hope and the future that we have. We pray that we would be able to leave here today, not dwelling over our sins, instead being flooded with great thoughts of your grace and mercy towards sinners. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.